Verse 2. Grace and peace from God the Father. Grace and peace from God. Grace has to come before peace. No grace, no peace. Because man is at enmity with God. So God's grace, which calls every man. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men. Grace is the caller. Grace is the key. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always from God the Father and Christ Jesus. They're always in agreement. So if they're in agreement, then if we just hang on to what they say or what they direct us to do, we'll be fine. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the two of them again, which has, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul denotes your position in Christ Jesus. You're blessed in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not in Buddha, not in Mary. Not, it's always in Christ Jesus. So that's the first key. Knowing Christ, knowing heavenly places. In Christ, in heavenly places. Verse 4. According he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless, without blame before him, that we should be holy and blameless. Now, he's made us that way. Y'all remember I've been harping on discipline comes because God wants you to participate in holy and blamelessness, right? Because when you walk out of fellowship, then you're not walking in righteous, in the righteous ways of God. Even though you are a righteous person, because that's a possession, right? So now if I understand my possession and my position, I start to understand my walk, right? So Paul just throws it on heavy. Let me tell you your position. Let me tell you what you got. Let me just lay out where you at if you have believed the gospel message. Verse 5. Having predestinated us, don't get afraid of that big old, as Greg used to say, $50 word. Predestinated. In other words, God looking ahead because he's God. Knowing what I'm going to do, knowing what you're going to do, knowing that he's going to call all men, he's going to draw all men, but all men's not going to answer the call. I can remember being in school, and about 5 o'clock in the evening, somebody would come out in front of the dorm and say, we're playing football at 5 o'clock. Everybody heard, but everybody didn't show up to play football. So God knows who's going to come out to play football. So in his predestination, he chose those who will say yes to the gospel. It's not complicated. It's not, you know, and this makes our security secure. In other words, if God did it before the foundation of the world, he certainly can't come back and say, I made a mistake, right? If he put me in him because he knew I would believe the gospel, then shame on him if he lied, right? So I simply tell people, make sure you believe the gospel. If you have believed the gospel, then your position is in Christ. That little word they end denotes position. I am in Christ. Paul says, that's your position. That's your possession. Let me lay it on a little bit more in verse 6. He said, to the praise of the glory of what? His grace. Not the glory of you being so outstanding. As a matter of fact, if it's to the glory of his grace, that means you were probably an outlaw. Right? But grace broke the barrier and said, look, I'm going to take down that separation that was there between you and God. Now you can come. You can come to God and accept the gospel. It's not complicated. It's just people make a bunch of play on words and just to keep you confused or to keep me confused. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption Through his blood. Now, you got redemption, right? How? The forgiveness of sins. According to the riches of his grace again. No grace, no end. No grace, you out. So if somebody tell you there's another way other than accepting salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ through the grace of God, then you ain't in. I'm not in. The only way you can get in is take the key, which is grace, simply believe, that's faith, and you're in. Believe what God tells us to believe, you're in. Verse 8. Where he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasures which he has purposed in himself. Salvation ain't you, it's him. God said, I see what kind of wrecks y'all are. So I'm going to go to the junkyard, which is the world, and every one of those smashed cars out there, I'm going to make them better than they were before they got smashed. But then you got certain cars out there that say, well, I can do it myself. I just need a tire. I maybe need a little overall. I just need a little, you know, in other words, I'm going to pick myself up by my bootstraps. And the more you pick yourself up, the more you go down. Because apart from the grace of God, there is no salvation. And Paul going to make that plain. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather to himself all things in Christ. That position again, in Christ. I don't care if it's in heaven. I don't care if it's in earth. All things. All things. How many things? All things. In heaven and which are on earth. Even in him. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being, it's another one of them $50 words, predestinated according to the purpose of him. Predestinated according to the purpose of him. Who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And I said, praise God for that. Because if he gave me 1% to do, I would be hell bound. Just 1%. But religion say we're at least 50-50. Some of them say we don't need him at all. He ain't the only way. I mean, you know, if you got money like Oprah, you can find another way. Maybe you can earmark some money, you know, and promise it to God. If you give me to heaven, I'll give you some of your money, okay? Yeah, your money. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Here's the buzzword. Who first trusted in Christ. Who first trusted in Christ. And the very next verse says, in whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with that spirit until the redemption of the purchase price. Now, two things here. 12. That we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted Christ. You can't believe on somebody if you don't trust them. And I've said before, if you got this guy walking across the riding across the Grand Canyon on a bicycle on a tight wire, and you taking bets that he will or he won't, and somebody says, oh, he'll never do it. Man, he scoots across and comes back, and the next time you're probably going to get a few takers, right? Oh, I believe. Yeah, I believe he can do it. Not because I saw it. Well, let's believe. He said, oh, you trust me? Yeah, get on the bike. So it's a trust. I trust the cross work of Christ. That's why Paul simply says, I preach Christ crucified. Paul said, I can't tell you. If there was something else I could tell you to trust in, trust me, I would. But I can only tell you about what is sufficient for heaven, and that is the cross of Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection. The moment he got up and went back to heaven, God says, sacrifice accepted. Totally, 100%. So if your position is in Christ, what does God think about you and me? Accept it, right? So your position or your possession, it's all based on what Christ did. You can't participate in that. No, there's nothing you can do to participate in that. Now, we can participate in our walk, but we can't participate in what he's done for us. You simply get that by believing and trusting. Christ in you, the hope of glory? Well, when he broke through the crowds and my heart stopped beating, there's one thing I know and one thing I can trust is that I'm going to be with him one way or the other. I'm going to meet and greet him, or I'm going to get out of this house. As Greg says, Elvis is going to leave the building. But it ain't no wonder because of my position and my possession of where I'm going to be. I'm going to be out of all this mess. And if God wanted to be funny, I think he would allow all the Christians in heaven to look down on earth. But God is too kind to do that. People say, I lived in that for 30 years. I lived in that for 50 years. I lived in that for 60 years. It's amazing how the world is trying to come up with remedies to give you a little bit longer life, right? Bias, a little bit longer life. When we got a message that can give you eternal life. Man, you want to live another 5 years or you want to live forever? And based on your answer, because it's your choice. God didn't make robots. He made people. He made humans. But he left his mind with me and you. And we can pick it. We can open the owner's manual and we can go through it and we can say, well, okay, God, that's what you've done for me. Here's what you would have me to do, have you work out in me. Let's do it, because guess what? I can't, you can't. God never, ever, ever promised to abandon us. Never. In all circumstances, in all situations, God is right there. We just need to acknowledge it. We just need to know it because of our possession, because of our position. We know that he's right here. Okay, Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? Think he might say, I don't have time to mess with you? I'm not giving you information now. You figure it out. Never. Never. Paul says, God always causes us to triumph. Always. How many times? Always. If we just listen. The problem is, I don't listen a lot of times. I just don't. I mean, just like Israel. Go back and read the Old Testament. How many times God would bail them out? How many times? What about when God took them out of bondage? Out of Egypt. Had he reported the Red Sea, they would have gone back. How do I know? Because they hadn't even set up camp yet and start to fabricate their own God. A God that could not move, a God that cannot speak, a God that could never part the Red Sea. You'd think the evidence would have been overwhelming, right? You'd think somebody in the crowd would have said, wait a minute, wait. Let us show us. If you always look for signs, you should have asked that dummy to do something, right? So we're kind of the same way. We laugh. I mean, you know, God used that physical experience to show us what salvation really is. And we do basically the same thing. Now, I don't think we're as bad as Israel. Well, as a country, we are. But as individual believers, I don't think we come closer with Israel. I mean, it's just over and over and over. You want to get in a stupor? Read the Old Testament. Just read it. I mean, it's just one offense after another, after another, after another. They murmured, and the Bible said, God heard their prayers. So you think there wasn't grace in the Old Testament? God simply could have said, I'm going to kill you. No pillar of fire by night. You know, I'm just done with you. That's it. Come over to the New Testament. He said, all day long my arms reach out to Israel. All day long. Man, if that ain't good learning for us, man, just look at them, because we do some of the dumb stuff, same dumb stuff that they did. Maybe not the volume, but we're good at it. We're pretty good at it. Back to Ephesians. Verse 14. Look at this one. Sealed with the Spirit of promise. For what reason? Which is the earnest, the down payment, the earnest money. God has put a down payment. Now, if God has put a down payment, you think he's going to renege and go back and say, change my mind, don't want the house, give me my money back. Nope, because he knew what he was getting. He knew he was getting liars and thieves and murderers. He knew exactly what he was getting. So I'm going to put this down payment, which is a pretty good down payment, the Spirit, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Man, you were bought with a price. Bought off the slave market of sin. And then asked to show proof of life. He didn't say, well, you show some proof of life, I'm going to redeem you. That never would have happened. How could a dead man show life? If you think so, we're going to go down to West Lawn after service and clear it out. And here's why he did it. Unto the praise of his glory. Unto the praise of his glory. Man, that's one heck of a possession of position, right? Can't lose. Man, What a position, what a place to be. Verse 13, go down to verse 16. Paul says, it seems not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. Paul liked to pray, right? It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of our Lord, he's invoking the two of them again, to the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him. So you mean to tell me if we open a book that God won't give us what we need? This is promise. He's already got it. It's written. There's no more revelation coming. So you open a book and you see what he says. Well, okay, you just read about your possession and your position. So what else you need to know? Open a book. Verse 18. That the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Okay, why did you call us, God? Why did you sanctify us? Why did you set us apart? For the walk. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Why did you inherit? Why did you give me this inheritance? Why did you seal me with the Spirit? Why do you live on the inside of me? Why? Paul goes on to say in the next verse, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Of his power. You know, he just said our power. The greatness of his power. But where does that power come from? You got to be a believer. He says, the working of his mighty power in every believer. You want to get something done? Say, okay, God, give me the knowledge and the wisdom of what you just worked in me so I can work it out. I'm getting quiet because of me. I'm not preaching at y'all. I'm just thinking about me and how sometimes my worldly mouth will get in motion before my spiritual brain engages. You ever been there? You ever done that? And Paul's going to lay it out. Paul lays it out so plain and so simple. Man, the Christian life is not hard for us to live. It's impossible. But God can do it. God can, he promised to do it. He said, look, man, you want fewer defeats and more victories? Close your mouth and open your ears. It's my problem a lot of times. And I get to the point where I say, if you'd have just listened, you wouldn't have made that statement, but you wasn't listening. You was engaged into what you're going to say because you already figured out what this guy's going to say in 2 years and 1 mouth. Use them proportionately. Listen twice, as my dad used to say, was a carpenter. He said, boy, measure 3, 4, 5 times and you cut once. But I like to cut because, man, I'm losing time. And then it's too short. And I think about my dad, and I get mad at him because he told me the truth. You know, especially if you just bought some $35, $40 boards that you, man, I got to make sure I get this right, and you cut it too short. You can't bring it back and tell Home Depot, got to take it back, I cut it too short. So listen at what the word says. And just the word, because that's what Paul is praying for. Paul said, I pray that you will be filled with the knowledge of him. Where at, Paul? In the inward man. Because the Christian life is an inside job. God remodels from the inside. And then it shows up on the outside. Religion shows up on the outside and never changes the inside. Paul is saying your possession, your position is in Christ. Look at Ephesians 1:20. Talk about the exceeding greatness. 1:20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Y'all know I harp on this. Resurrection power. This is what Paul is talking about. He ain't still dead. Satan don't have to dominate you, Romans chapter 6. Don't have to dominate me. You got resurrection power. It says, look, when Christ rose from the dead and was seated at the right hand, first of all, you got a defense attorney right there representing you. So when you fall on the track like I often do, get up and move out. Thank God. God, you was exactly right. Now I see it. I was exactly wrong. Now what I do? Well, do whatever it is he tells you to do. 21, verse 21. Now, where is he seated? Above all principalities and powers, might, and dominions. In every name that name, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. In other words, the God that possesses us ain't looking up at nobody. He's above everything and he's looking down. So if that's my master, and that's the one who wants to train me, and that's the one that wants to teach me, that, well, that's the one I'm going to listen to, because all that other stuff got to be under his feet. Why would we play on a losing team? You know, if we was choosing a team, man, and we got two quarterbacks, me and Drew Brees, who y'all going to choose? I know y'all like me, but don't lie and say you choose me, because I wouldn't choose y'all. I'm going to choose Drew Brees or Tom Brady, right? But I bet you, even choosing those guys, they're going to make mistakes. But when we choose him, who makes no mistakes? Well, sometimes I think he did with me, but he makes no mistakes. He said, I know what I was getting into. I got you. Look, I chose you and me before the foundation of the world. That's your position. You're locked in. You're locked in. So I'm going to fast forward to duty. This one you say, ouch, ouch. In Ephesians chapter 4, turn fast forward to Ephesians chapter 4. Now you just read your possession, your position. What God guarantees you and me. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in verse 8. Ephesians 4, 8. It says, wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captive, y'all read it, and gave gift unto men. Verse 9, that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? For why? For what? Why did he descend and why did he ascend? Look at verse 11 for time's sake. And that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, I got to write this bigger, and some pastors and teachers. Now, they got a lot of those people all over the place today, right? Are self-proclaimed. But if the next verse is not fulfilled, then what kind of job are they doing? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now y'all see why. That I was totally in love with Greg. Did Greg not do this? Ask those guys who always passing out, I'm not going to embarrass them, who are always going in the neighborhood passing out tracts. Ask me who goes to the prison. Ask me where did I learn a whole lot of what I know from Greg, because he did his job. What I learned from him empowered me to go out and share with others. So if you're in a place where this is being done, okay, what's up? Well, you're getting the truth. You know your position. You know your possessions. Okay, now what? Paul said, okay, you got it. You got the teacher, you got the pastor, you got, he's giving you the truth, and then you got your own Bible study time. A lot of y'all got other Bible studies you go to. You're getting the word of God, you're getting filled with the knowledge of him, and that knowledge is only for that inner man. It's to strengthen the inner man, the one that's been renewed by the dead, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the spirit man. How does it work? Fast forward to Romans chapter 7, and let's look at it in action. By the way, Paul says the very next verse in Ephesians, henceforth being not carried away with every wind of doctrine. If you got that pastor teacher that's teaching, you won't be carried away with every wind of doctrine. Guarantee you. Took about 10 minutes to listen to a CD I had. I think I shared it with Greg. Forgot I had it. All the isms. Benny and Creflo Dollar. Joel Osteen talking about why they got two planes, and the one up the road say he's got chandeliers that cost more than some of y'all's houses. I mean, is that conveying the gospel message? Is that edifying the body? Is that, well, it edifies those who want to hear that. But it doesn't edify what I'm, it doesn't make me share what I need to share. Because that can't get anybody to heaven. Your heaven is here on earth. If you're worried about a 62-room mansion, man, I'd rather stay in a teepee in heaven than stay in a mansion here on earth. But anyway, Romans chapter 7. It's starting verse 17. Well, we're not going to have time, but y'all read all the way 17 to the end of the chapter. We're going to start for time's sake in verse 21. Paul is comparing himself, the old Paul who tried to live by the law, to the new Paul that understand that this is by the grace of God. We'll start in verse 20. Paul says this. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 21. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, let me ask y'all a question. Anybody's been praying at night and a thought jump in your head? You try to do good, right? So if I take that thought and I pass it through the law, it kills me. But if I take that thought and pass it through grace, Paul's going to tell us how it works here. Watch. Verse 22. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, after the spirit man. The spirit man always wants truth. Spirit man always don't want to lie, don't want to steal, don't want to do none of that. Verse 22. But I see another law in my members, not in my spirit, not in inner man, in my members, warring against the law that's in my mind. Where's that's in my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Well, in your flesh is no good thing. That's what Paul is talking about. No good thing. And when you're brought back under the subjection of that, you're not going to see any good thing. In a religion, it's just heresy. You can do a few good things and continue to do the 99 bad things. Well, then you're still dead. Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Paul said, the body is dead. There's no life in this. That's why it's got to be resurrected and glorified. This thing is going to the grave. Paul said, I'm wretched. Oh, wretched man that I was, did Paul say? Oh, wretched man that I what? Paul said, I know my thought life. I know, no, I didn't write it. God didn't have me write it. But those guys that gave me lashes, I would have liked to have killed them. I said, I know my thoughts. I know my thoughts. Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, if you fast forward to Romans chapter 12, Paul said, be not what? Conformed to the world, but be ye transformed. How? What are you doing with your mind? What are we doing with our mind? Let's continue to renew our mind. Possession, position, walk. I constantly think about who God has made me. And in many cases, it changes my walk. It changes my conversation. My conversation, I would rather talk to you about heaven than to talk to you about earth. I can't wait to go to the prisons. I can't wait to engage somebody in a conversation about who Christ is and what he's done. In Romans chapter 3, we all know it. Don't go there. I might bring it up next week. Read what Paul says about our members. He talks about the eyes. He talks about the hand. He talks about the feet. He talks about everything. Go back to Romans chapter 1 and read what it says about the members. Go back to David and see what got him in trouble. His members started with his eyes. Change your thought pattern about what your eyes see. That's my objective. That's what I try and do. Now, don't look at that because you remember God told Adam and Eve sin didn't start with eating? Start with looking, right? When you look and think about it, there was not one sin in the world, not one. So think about what we are today. We got 982 trillion and it's going up like the deficit. So let's start to think different. Let's start to change our thought pattern. Let's start to see the goodness of God and let that goodness of God fill us and overflow to somebody around us. We don't have to act because God said that's what we are. It's not legalism. It's what God has made us. God said, you're righteous in me. You're forgiven, you're justified, you're sanctified, you're glorified. Act like that. That's our challenge this week. That's our challenge every day. Not only to know who we are, but to know whose we are. God, if you said it, I trust it. I missed it the last time, but I'm going to get it this time, Lord. I guarantee you. You bring it back my way, and I got it this time. That's what renewing the mind is. And that's what we want to do. Lord, again, we thank you for our position and our possessions, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you teach each and every one of us how to translate that into action on the ground, Lord, what it looks like. Nothing we can do to earn it. You've already given it to us. And I think we can show you our appreciation by allowing you to work in and through us and that we present these bodies a living sacrifice based on you and what you've done and what you want to do in and through us. And Lord, again, I lift Heritage up as a body. Lord, I just pray that you keep us going in the right direction, Lord, that we will be a beacon of light, not just to the community, but to the world. Lord, I I listened to Greg every day, and I said, you know, Greg and J. Brandon McGee and Nick Calabota, these guys are home with you, and their word is still going forth. And that's how strong your word is, Lord. It's amazing how they can, they've already given up the ghost, and they're still bringing people to you. And, Lord, we thank you for that. We just thank you, Lord, so much for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your gracious Son. For it's in his name I pray. Amen.